Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Hello, welcome to the big show. Oh, I sounded like Ken Dodd there, didn't I?
No.
Welcome to the big show. How you doing? He's the only performer from the 70s who's not going to have a child sex abuse scandal, it seems, in the future. My name's Ewan Rankin, and we're here to discuss the week's technology news, which has got nothing to do with or anything else. Who'd have thought it, eh? Tell you what, the Prison Panto is going to be fantastic this year up in Preston. Absolutely bloody marvellous. Now you've got to be the dame. That'd be superb. It's allegedly, of course.
You understand?
It's allegedly, absolutely. It's a questionable offence. And I know no more about it. So I apologise if you're a watcher. A listener, sorry. Do apologise. Joining me to discuss the week's technology, and Carl's wincing there because we've got absolutely no chance of getting sponsors after that comment. Top left, Carl Madden, how you doing, man?
I'm very well, thank you, sir. How are you?
I'm all right, mate. A week in as supervisor.
Yes, and I'm hating every second of it.
And a week out as driver.
Mm. Well, know. No, they're going to make me do it for a few weeks. That's the thing. I've got to pick up all the systems so I can fill in when other people are away.
They can't make you do anything.
My gang, stop me. Money. Stop me money. I've already sacked someone at work this week, so I don't want to be the second one.
Oh, bloody hell. That's a bit much. Great. Good you've been on the... You've not been doing podcasts, I reckon, or...
I've not heard a single podcast this week. I haven't read one tech story this week, so this is going to be a really interesting show for me so I can catch up on all the news.
That's not good. Not good at all. We were going to go to Jeff Gamet, but it seems that his Skype line is reconnecting, so instead we'll go to a rather squashed Sarah Gray below.
Yeah, I was going to wonder what's going on. I'm 16.9, aren't I, or something, instead of 4.3.
I wouldn't dream to guess a lady's age.
Yeah, well, let's just say 4.3 is closer than 1.69. Hey, no comment on that.
Good girl. How have you been, girl?
I'm okay. I'm still alive.
Back to Paddyland soon.
Yeah, I haven't got much hair left after this week, but I can't wait to get over there.
Okay. Good wishes, good wishes. Next to Sarah, we've got a wonderful man who does the Gamer Show, which has been celebrated its anniversary this week.
Well, technically, we haven't actually managed to record the anniversary edition yet, but technically. Due to weddings and rugby sevens tournaments and whatnot, we haven't managed to record this week's show, but it's going to get recorded on Saturday, so it should be out on Sunday.
Now, having met you, Paul, I take it you were watching rugby sevens.
Yeah, it's been a couple of years since I played in sevens.
Good, man. Same here. I'm not in any position to throw stones. But the thing is, unless you drink beer, you're not supporting your club, mm-hmm. and that would never do.
No. To be fair, it wasn't even me that was at the Sevens tournament. It's Sevens season just now around me, and I was at a wedding at the weekend, but Chiz for the Gamer Show was at the Sevens tournament, so we couldn't record.
Well, I'm at the London Sevens, London Twickenham Sevens this weekend, so with Ellis. We got tickets for both days, and he's absolutely... looking forward to it like you wouldn't believe, not because he's going to go and see Sevens at Twickenham with every nation of the world that plays rugby playing there, but he gets to sleep in a hotel.
Is rugby Sevens the equivalent of five-a-side football for rugby?
No, because it's played on a full-size pitch.
Yeah.
Ouch.
It's a knackering. That's why Paul and I don't play it, mate. It's a knackering game. I didn't play it when I played rugby, and I was reasonably fit. I had a resting pulse of 47, so I don't have no qualms at all. But Sevens is for stupid young people with no body fat.
I did 5 years ago play a Sevens tournament in the morning and then a 15s game in the afternoon.
Oh.
That was one of the hardest days.
Mornings. Forget the afternoon bit. And last but by no means least, Charlotte A. Henry, new writer for Mac Observer, it would seem.
Yes, Jeff.
How'd you wangle that one, girl? You slipped in a bit sly there. One appearance.
Yeah, you know, Jeff just couldn't get rid of me after the last big show, so I'm going to be contributing some London stuff to Mac Observer, amongst other things.
I apologise for the ringing tone in your ear there, but I'm trying to get Jeff Gamet back. Your boss.
Oh, no, don't get him back, because then he'll realise what I've been saying about him.
Oh, no, damn.
Too late. I'm back.
And Jeff, the boss, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
There was a massive delay.
Yep, and hopefully it'll catch up. The problem I'm having is that now that the snow's picked back up, I have a crappy internet connection, and it may or may not drop out again during the show. So today's going to be an adventure.
It's like talking to America in the 70s.
Yeah, except I don't have bell bottoms.
Yeah, well, but you've got bourbon. I noticed that. Well done, mate. You're into the spirit of this thing already.
Yes.
Dude.
Yes, I am.
I told you were the dude on Twitter, didn't I? See? The week in technology. Yes, it's been a fantastic week. If you live in Syria, however, maybe not. Here's the packet information for Syria. Those are in millions. And somewhere around 750 on May 7th. It all disappeared. The conspiracy theories abound. There are enormous amounts saying that it was cut off by the USA. But would the USA do that? Probably.
Are you sure they just weren't using...
Could be. And you wondering why we got no sponsors. You leave alone. They gave me this copy free of charge, mate.
Fair enough.
We'll be talking later.
Get into politics, but...
Go on, Sarah.
I was going to say, I know we shouldn't be getting to politics, but I don't think there's any way that the USA would do that. Not because I trust them, but because I think it would be counterintuitive to what's going on there at the moment.
It's just like going up to someone in a bar and going, I know you're a complete bastard, but I don't think you would have done that. And not expecting to get punched in the face. The last time you've been to the States, mate, I promise you. I've said too much on Twitter to ever get a visa now.
Yeah.
And Spotify has had a flaw, sorry for the crappy logo, which allows you to get all of your songs free of charge. Apparently, this is a repeat exploit because this was done by Downloadify or something like that, which, Carl, I'm sure you know a lot about.
No, I don't. But some people I would know probably saying this is not a flaw, this is a feature.
Really?
So, no, but it's not. Yeah, it's not very good, is it? I mean, it's not on. They're going to get in a lot of trouble from the companies over this, I tell you.
Well, how did they get the music business on side to start with? And once you do it, the last thing you do is start giving it away free.
Well, they did promise it was all going to be protected and DRM'd, and obviously something went wrong there.
Something.
Something.
Yeah, most definitely.
Someone didn't tick a box. Would you like DRM? Yes, please.
Today was the Queen's speech. Nope, sorry, wrong Queen.
Yesterday.
Yesterday even. And there's a return to the Snoopers Charter. There's our Queen there, gorgeous as ever, in the crown that was transported from the Tower of London to Buckingham Palace by G4S, which is why the two diamonds at the top are missing. that's
really the Queen?
If there's anyone from G4S listening, that was a joke.
I feel so stupid now. I always thought that was a shot from Monty Python.
Right.
That really is the Queen.
Well, with every passing year, maybe it gets closer. But
I'm told that that this Snoopers Charter is completely well and truly dead, despite the best effort, despite the fact that the rumour rumbles on. I've spent much of my day digging around this today. And apparently it is kaput.
You've been digging up dead legislation?
Something like that.
Mrs. Birkenhair.
Because that's exactly how exciting my life is.
Good girl.
Tell us what you found, Charlotte.
If you keep doing research, you'll never fit in on this show.
Well, actually, if it makes you feel better, it was research for something else, not you. Is that all right?
Mm. Okay. No, good save.
No, but so I believe that with Nick Clegg as Deputy Prime Minister, with the Lib Dems in government, this is a thing that's just not going to happen. There has been, I don't know if we're going to talk about it later, there's been moves to IP matching, which is probably quite sensible, because it means that you can match an IP address to a physical address, But I think that was the only technical issue they needed to sort out. And I think that's the only thing that was in the Queen's speech. Everything else is not happening.
Well, there's no way that could happen, technically, until we have IPv6.
Well, they were talking about...
There aren't enough IP addresses in the world to be able to do that.
And wasn't there a move this week, though, to do duplication to avoid the problems of the fact that they hadn't started IPv6? Is that what you're talking about, Charlotte?
No, I think I think it's pretty loose at the moment what's going to happen, but what there isn't going to be is the communications data bill. That's not going to happen. What there is going to be is, I believe, moves to making sure that, if someone says so-and-so online is grooming me or, things like that, an IP address can be matched to a physical address.
Mm.
Yeah, that's why the ISPs have to hang on to that information, don't they?
But I can get
as you know, at the moment, I think there are still a lot of issues. For example, on mobile, you can have 1,000 mobile devices associated with one IP address, or IP addresses moving. All sorts of people having one IP address. But I think there's going to be moves to sort that problem. But none of the other horrible stuff that was in the original communication data bill, and all the stuff that came before it as well.
See, now IP fixing to address, that scares me, because that can easily be spoofed.
Mm.
What, about someone's IP address?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got two neighbours that have got unprotected Wi-Fi. I can log onto their Wi-Fi and I've got their IP address.
Yeah, no, I mean, I raise this, and I suspect this is all the type of stuff that's going to come out into the wash. I think the point that I've learnt over the last sort of 24 hours or so is that is the only thing that's going to be resolved. You're not going to have web logging and all those type of things.
Come out into the wash sounds like it's a red sock in a white load.
It may well be.
Blimey. Charlotte's got to be in a bonnet about the Snoopers Charter.
I did have it. My did bonnet have. Has sort of been opened and the bee's gone now.
If Charlotte says it's dead, quick, God for it. She says it's dead. Okay. This is the APX Labs answer to Google Glass. Now, this is supposed to improve the augmented reality experience.
Oh, dear God in heaven.
I've got to be in my bonnet about Google Glass as well, big time.
Well, Tom Merritt tweeted out the other week that Google Glass was in beta. This was effectively a brick phone. And I saw this week, and I tweeted Tom, and I said, no, that's a beta device. See?
That's pre-beta. That's alpha.
That's a proper brick in a beta device. None of your Google Glass stuff. Google Glass is a finished product. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, but it is a concept. It is for a concept only. There's no way they're going to sell that mass market.
Yeah. And that's a prototype.
Not for the price, and also because of the fact that there isn't the market for it.
That's my point. If you haven't ironed out the wrinkles, it looks like that. If you have ironed out the wrinkles, it should look like Google Glass. Yes, you don't sell Google Glass with wrinkles in it.
No. If you've ironed out the wrinkles, it shouldn't look like Google Glass either. It should look like a pair of glasses with just like a pair of glasses. The Google Glass has too many things still kind of hanging off the side of it.
Charlotte has another rant awaiting. Princess Charlotte, go ahead.
I don't want to rant. I just simply don't understand Google Glass. I don't understand why you would want it. I don't understand why you would need it. And any device that allows us to see Robert Scoble in the shower cannot be a good thing.
Based on what we saw last week on the internet, mate, it's because you're a white male American.
I remember when people said, I don't see why we need mobile phones as well.
I don't think it's the same.
No, I can't wait for Google Glass to actually come into a form that isn't going to weigh down one side of my head when I'm wearing them. I think they're fantastic. If you're sitting in a meeting or something like that and somebody's twittering on that you're not really interested in, you could be checking email. You could be being excessively productive in the times that you have downtime. I can't wait for it.
When you're with boring bastards.
I'll sit there with my tablet and do that. And I suppose it's antisocial in a way, but I'd still do it. And I know plenty of people that do. You can still be having a conversation and checking your emails. But
okay, well, another scenario is maybe when you don't want to be rude. So, for example, if you're at your kids' play and you're having to sit through the first 5 years and then the subsequent 2 years that you're not interested in any way, shape, or form. I'm sure that their parents are very, very proud, and it's lovely. And I'm sure that other people are thinking that about when my daughter's on the stage. But if I'm having to sit there, I have to be polite, so I could be sitting checking my email on Google Glass, and you couldn't bring your tablet out in that scenario.
No, but I bet there's people that do that on their phone.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they would, yeah.
Do you think they'll fix? Do you think they'll work it into the rabbit mask? Says the chat room.
For one thing, Paul, do you honestly think you would get away with, in the current way that things are, wearing a pair of wearing Google Glass into a school?
Yeah, that's a fair point. However, there's no a fair chance that local authorities haven't got a clue what Google Glass is, so you'd probably get away with it. Or you'd have to put like an elastoplast over the video camera or something.
Yeah. It's going
to
be 30 years before someone knocks on his door. And finally,
I think it can be good to have something pinned to your retina like that. I mean, I don't know how you guys feel, but I know if I look online a lot or spend a lot of my day in front of a screen, that I can get, you know, headaches, migraines, all sorts of things. I just cannot see how it can be good to have that right on your retina. And I don't mean to be a ludder.
Pin to your retina makes it sound like it's been put on with a staple gun, girl.
It's still pretty close to your eye, and I just don't see how that can be good for anyone.
You cannot harm your eye by using it. I can tell you that absolutely. I've got a degree in ergonomics from Surrey University that tells me I can say that.
See, I'm waiting for the biometric contact lenses that are currently getting worked on by a university in Germany. Those are far better, because I wear contact lenses now and again, and apparently it gives you kind of a heads-up display, so stuff's actually floating out in front of you. I want them. I want that to come.
And I can't wait for flying cars as well, Paul.
The thing that is cool like this, have you seen that video games controller that's, the name's completely escaped me, but that goes in front of your eyes? Josh Topolsky did a video of it as well. I cannot remember the name of it, but that looks amazing.
Oculus Rift?
A 3D display that you can play video games on, but that goes across your face. That's much better than Google Glass.
Yeah, but you couldn't drive and check your email with that thing.
Well, you could, but it wouldn't be for very long.
I'll say that it's a decent device when I see a woman wearing one.
Good rule of thumb.
Yes. And last but by no means least in the opening stories, which are only supposed to take 5 minutes, Facebook has been rumoured to buy Waze.
No!
There we go. Another example of a tech company buying something that's hip so they can f*** it right up.
Maybe they just want to kill it.
I thought about whether to edit or not this week, and in the end I thought, f*** it, I'm going to edit, because this is so wrong.
Oh, on so many levels.
Oh, man.
Oculus Rift.
Sarah, go on, you were saying something. Go. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, when I saw this story, the first person I thought of was Carl, because it was his cool thingy a few weeks ago, wasn't it?
Waze is bloody awesome.
Why is this a bad thing?
Well, it's a bad thing because people don't like Facebook. People don't trust Facebook. That's what makes it a bad thing. If they let Waze run like they're letting Instagram run, it in the long run, it just doesn't matter. Yeah. So we'll have to wait and see what happens there. But it makes sense for Facebook to be looking at Waze, because they've been really making this big push into the whole mobile world. And they already have a partnership with Waze, so they might as well take it to the next step and just buy the company outright.
For $1 billion?
$1 billion.
Are they really worth that?
Oh, they could just sell off the
shares, and Facebook shares aren't even worth the paper they're printed on, so it's kind of six and a half a dozen.
Absolutely right, Paul.
I got to say, I've got a real problem at the moment, because I think big tech companies are missing the opportunity to understand customer relations, because there isn't a single person out there who's a Waze user who is technically illiterate. They are all switched on tech users. They are not going to look at this and see any positive in it, because they've seen Twitter take over every Twitter application that's of any decent value and screw it up. Limit its API so that it screws everything else. They've seen Adobe this week go to the cloud. We'll talk about that in a minute. They've seen other firms that have got the ability to go to a controlling environment, do it because they want to rather than because they should do. And that's the real problem. That's the real crux of, you know, we'll move on to the Adobe thing now, if you like, with this. The problem with the Adobe issue of going to Creative Cloud and dropping the CS stuff is that they've moved away from a customer-focused business. If you're focused on customers, then you give them your product at every opportunity you possibly can that suits their requirements and needs. You don't control it. And 99% of the companies that are out there in the tech market at the moment are controlling their business because they can rather than because they should.
The thing is, though, Ewan, and I'll say this about Facebook, Twitter, and anything else that you don't actually pay for. If you don't pay for it, you are the what's the expression? You are the customer.
You are the product.
Well, I've got
you don't pay for the product, you are the product.
And that's
product.
What you have to remember. And, you know, these companies are still trying to figure out how to monetize something. When you pay for something, that's a bit different. You should expect something. And I know you're going to come onto that in a bit with Adobe because I know you've had
some. Let's do it now.
And I agree with you on. But on this, is you have to accept the fact to a certain extent that if you aren't getting something for free, you're not going to get exactly the way you want to do it.
I've got a picture here just to point out. I've got a picture here of Adobe headquarters. I just wanted to show that because I spent a lot of time getting that off the internet.
You know, I've been to Adobe's headquarters, and wow, I didn't realize they allowed photos out.
That's pretty much it. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, there we go. Someone's going to say something.
Oh, no, I was just saying with Waze, although it was a free service, we were giving back. We were, because every time we went for a drive or something, we were feeding that information back into the system.
Yep.
And we were giving them traffic information and various reports about roadworks and accidents and stuff like that, which they were then using. And I believe they were selling that sort of service to companies like Apple as well to make their maps supposedly better. So we were actually producing something as customers, although we were using a free app.
Mm-hmm. And that's what Facebook's bought, all that data.
Yeah, and my fear is that they'll include it develop it into some sort of Facebook app, and everywhere I go, it will suddenly say, oh, Cole's driving to Cirencester or somewhere. That's what scares me.
Actually, that's
just
already there.
Cirencester.
Oh, I know you can share that voluntarily, Jeff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think that was part of that deal with Facebook. So hopefully it stays as a voluntary thing and not something that Facebook forces to be in your feed all the time.
I think
I can see where that could get kind of awkward for some people.
It's going to be like that.
There's lots of these tools that Facebook have sitting in the background, and they don't want to turn all the taps on quite just yet because they know that it'll freak people out. But it will over time. They will turn these taps on, and they. This is coming from coincidentally a chap at Adobe I was speaking to last week, and they have contacts at Facebook that they're currently speaking with, and apparently Facebook have some awesome technology, and I mean awesome in the kind of more traditional sense, as opposed to really, really cool power there, that they're just waiting for the opportunity, and they're waiting for customers to become completely comfortable with what they're currently doing, and then they'll turn the taps on a little bit more, and it's just gonna in the next 5-10 years, we're gonna be looking back at this and going, I don't know what the problem was, or we're gonna be going, my good God, this was the start of Skynet.
No, they'll go, do you remember Facebook?
No, that's
I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah, and hang on a second. Let's go on this idea of history repeating itself. Mm-hmm. Let's do Quark. And let's say Quark in the mid to late 90s versus Adobe. Adobe were the new kids on the block. They had some interesting stuff, but really they didn't pack the punch. Where the hell are Quark now? And the problem was Quark got into the box seat, and they sat and thought, we've cornered the market. It's a gilt-edged coin from this point forward. Well, hell no, it's not. And Adobe are now in that position where they're sitting thinking it's a gilt-edged coin for them. And it's not, because I'm sorry, there is so much out there. I mean, Jeff and I have been talking on Twitter this week, and on the behest of iBookery on Twitter, I downloaded Acorn 4 and had a play. Man, oh man, oh man, it is so close to Photoshop, it's uncanny. It's got a raw processor that's at least as good, if not better, and I promise you, as soon as I come down to my Mac one morning and I open up Photoshop and it says, I'm sorry, you can't run because of a fault with Lion, a changeover of Raw Editor and that kind of stuff. It's gone from my system, and I am totally into Acorn 4 because it does everything that I need. And Adobe will not survive.
I've completely removed the use of any other art packages because Pixelmator does everything that I could possibly want.
Mm. Yeah, that's the way I went as well.
Yeah,
Pixelmator. And I've just had a big update as well.
There's a big difference between where Adobe is today and where Quark was at their peak, and that's Fred Ibrahimi. And Fred's the guy that was running Quark at the time, and he was so blindly arrogant and was so hell-bent on taking just the corporate market that he single-handedly, I think, destroyed Quark. Mm. And with what we have with Adobe right now, there are more hands in the pie. So I think we have a situation where, even though right now there's a lot of people that are really pissed off, we don't have to deal with just a Fred Ibrahimi out there single-handedly destroying the company. We also have the difference in that Quark has always been a privately held company, and Adobe is publicly traded. So now they're responsible to the shareholders, and that makes a big difference too.
Hopefully it will in the long run, because at some point there'll be a common sense spoken, because I think we live in a global economy, and it's truly more global in the last 12 months than it's ever been. And you look at the pricing of Adobe, you're talking about it $29 in the US, $29.99 for the complete package for existing customers. If I want to upgrade here in the UK, and because of my credit card number, it means I can't upgrade as anywhere else, it's got to be UK, I am paying £27.99. Now, actually, $29.99 equates to £18.13 over here. They are bending me over and Roger me Widget, because the other thing is, don't forget the VAT and the customs and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I don't believe for one second that Adobe are paying VAT in the UK on purchases made in the UK. I don't believe for a second that they're paying any kind of taxation that's not run through Liechtenstein to try and get rid of some of the licensing fees. They are bending me over and they're humping me, and I will not give another penny to Adobe.
The thing is, though, Ewan, to be fair, and I don't agree with it either, but how many years of particularly software companies, both in the commercial and the consumer side, been doing this? That you know, it's a $1 for £1. You know, if something's $29.99 or $299, it will be £299. It's the same with hardware as well.
The difference in a way now is that we have things, you know, the guys were talking about Acorn 4, and actually, because I was following Jeff and Ewan's conversation, I actually cleared a really horrible bent version of CS3 off my computer, and my whole system works much nicer now. And, you know, I'm going to probably, next time I need to do some art photography work, upgrade to Acorn 4. And you can do that, and it's better value for money. And we can see that it's better value for money. You know, I don't need all the whole of CS3 faffing up my computer system anymore. And we can see the better alternatives. And the app place, marketplace, is actually when people can start creating these things, and we can start actually having alternative to the sort of Adobe monopoly.
Mm. Absolutely.
I do think we're going to see more.
I don't.
God, Jeff, sorry.
I don't see an end to the Adobe monopoly anytime soon, because we have a big problem here, which is we have the entire printing and publishing industry that is completely entrenched and based on Adobe products. Now, you can go out and you can get Acorn, you can go out and get all different kinds of applications. But unless you can play tightly in the Adobe game, then you're going to have serious problems as a professional publishing company, a professional print shop, a professional designer. So we've got this problem where until other companies can come out with products that match the features Adobe has and match the file formats, we're not going to have anyone getting away in a significant fashion from the Adobe products.
Well, I think that's a bit of a I'm going to call you out on this, Jeff, because I think that's wrong. And I think it's wrong because if you look at the majority of output formats now, PDF is what they want. They don't want anything else but high-grade PDF. And I can output high-grade PDF from Preview. I can open Camera Raw for my 6D in Preview. I can output it then to a JPEG or a TIFF or a PNG from Preview, or I can output it to a PDF. So I can do everything that I need to do. And once I've got it into those file formats, I can make it in pages and I can output it as a PDF. And my printer will print it from a PDF. All of the printers that I've ever worked with in the last 6 months, all they want from me now is a high-quality PDF. They don't want PNG. They don't want JPEG. They don't want TIFF. They don't want anything of that high-grade stuff. They don't want it in CMYK. They just want a standard RGB PDF. And there is a lot of programs out there now that do a far better job of PDF than Photoshop does, an awful
actually,
lot.
In fact, the Adobe PDF is one of the worst things about Adobe.
Yeah. I will grant you that. People output houses are taking PDF, and actually that's my preferred way to hand stuff over.
Well, that's my point, is they don't just take PDF, they tell you they want PDF. You send them a JPEG and they go, no, send it me in PDF.
And if you're talking about professional printing, or excuse me, professional photography, where you're not having to deal with applications like Adobe InDesign, then you can probably get away from using any Adobe product and no one will ever know the difference. Yeah. I think there are, however, a lot of professional workflows that rely so much on having InDesign, and that's the big problem for a lot of this. If you can't duplicate InDesign, you've broken a lot of the workflows. And until someone comes up with a way to do that, a lot of those workflows just simply cannot move away from what Adobe
offers. I do work for a printer not far from here, and he is in with a local printer who does digital output printing, and it is, the quality of this stuff is unbelievable. You'd swear blind it was done on a four-color Heidelberg, and it's not. It's done on a laser jet. And he makes...
Yeah, I've seen some amazing printers like that.
He makes wallpaper out of this stuff. You know, he runs a sheet of paper that's the size of a sheet of wallpaper in a continuous roll through, and it will print all of the sheets matched with overlaps so that you can make a sheet of wallpaper and do your office with an image. And when you say to him, okay, what do you want?
PDF.
He wants PDF. Mm-hmm. He wants nothing
but PDF.
Yep,
you're absolutely right.
And that's the way it's going. And there's a point from Adam in the chat room. To be honest, myself and a fair few people I know that are into graphics, in the graphics industry, and even movie making industry, have said that this is the death of Adobe. They'll either switch back to the solid package or they will die and fade away. And they will. I'm sorry. I think this is a serious, serious screw up on their part.
I think they're beginning to look very, very old media and very old school. And, you know, when people, like I said, when people can make these apps that output, as you pointed out, Ewan, in these high-grade PDFs, high-grade PNGs, when you can output things like that, people are not caring anymore how you got to that point.
Yeah.
And I think that's really meaning people don't feel they need to have Adobe anymore to produce good graphical content, never mind video content, where there's
the vector
like
graphics,
Final Cut, which are just much easier, more intuitive and nicer to use anyway.
The vector graphics in Pixelmator and Acorn are no worse than anything that Adobe can offer.
And they're all, how much? They're all under like £25 or something.
£20 for Acorn 4. I bought it instantly. All I did was get down Acorn 4, opened it up, shoved one of my 6D raw images into it, because the problem I've had since Adobe decided not to let Camera Raw 7.3 work with 5, I had to shove everything through DNG converter and then open it. Acorn instantly worked with my 6D, and the raw editor is powerful, proper powerful, and it opened it inside the editor. I could do levels, I could do sharpness, I could do all the things that I can do in Photoshop. And then I can output it in whatever format I want. I'm done with Adobe. absolutely done. And I cannot stand the thought of being on a disused airfield, having taken a whole pile of pictures for someone, and I can't process any of them because I've got always on DRM and I've got no internet connection that will authorise my server.
Thing is, I think this is these software companies, especially the big ones, are going to push for this more in the future. Like Microsoft have done the same thing with Office, and one day they're just going to stop selling Office.
Well, that's the interesting thing because they backed away from that this week because they were running headlong down that path, and they've said, "Oh well, maybe no. Actually, I don't think we will."
You talking about Office 365?
Yeah, they've said that they won't go to an always online option for Office now. They'll still continue to sell hardware.
But
that's good.
Soft, or diskware.
Yeah.
I think that day will come to an end. I mean, obviously they've tested the waters this time and maybe they've been shocked by the reaction, but I think it's coming because it's what they want, because it sort of limits piracy. It makes their product look cheaper when you're only charging £7 a month for it instead of, what's Office, £200? I can't remember now.
Yeah. And it's what Microsoft wanted all along as well. That was how Gates originally wanted every Microsoft product to be sold, was in a subscription, including Windows, way back in the beginning.
Yeah, and like when you need to update your product, you don't have to do this big launch like from Windows 2007 to 2011, for example. You just roll out the updates as and when they come to fruition, so to speak. And if you can get enough people to subscribe, you're getting a constant influx of money. And it must be very like tantalizing to these companies to see this like perfect golden egg out there for them, and they just need to drag all their customer base along with them, kicking and screaming if necessary.
But that's the point I would make, is that Adobe are looking at the ability to be able to control rather than the fact that they should control. They point to issues of the fact that Photoshop is one of the most pirated pieces of software out there. But that's because, A, it's so expensive that no one can afford it, and B, the people that are pirating it wouldn't be buying it in the first place anyway. At best, they'd be buying elements, and they probably wouldn't even buy that.
They priced themselves in a way that was asking to be pirated.
Hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, whatever one's views on piracy are and anything like that, they set themselves up. They were a prime target. It was a piece of software that people like and want that was priced out of almost any amateur market.
I wonder how many people out there using Photoshop and that professionally now learnt to do it through a pirated copy.
Oh, definitely. No question.
Probably most everyone.
Just be careful that
overhead of 25 didn't pirate Photoshop at some point in their lives.
Good man. Keep it anonymous.
Same old story though. I mean, Adobe did the same thing. Do you remember there used to be, and you might remember this, Paul, there used to be a great software called Cool Edit, which Adobe bought, renamed it Audition, and suddenly charged a whack load of cash for it, and nobody bought it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Adobe made it very easy to pirate Photoshop in the beginning, and I believe it was on purpose, because they wanted everyone hooked in to their ecosystem, for lack of a better word. And if you make it very easy for people to pirate the software, then that's what everyone's using, and then it kind of trickles uphill. And then you have businesses that need it because that's what everyone's using. Now they start buying it, and now they start getting money for the product.
I would agree with that. And I think up to version 7. I think version 7 in 2002 was an infinitely piratable version. But when CS hit, I think that's when they started to really think about locking it down more and more. CS2 was the last one that was probably doable. CS3 was unpiratable, and 4 and 5 you didn't either really.
And that's sort of endorsing Jeff's point, because actually by that point everyone was hooked.
Mm.
The problem with all of this is it shows what happens when a company gets too much of a monopoly.
Mm. Plus it's one of those
competition in every sector.
Plus it's like one of those things.
Go ahead, Carl.
See, they also had go ahead, Carl. Sorry.
Sorry, Manny.
I was going to say, so it's one of those situations where the name of the product has become the term you use, like, oh, I'm going to Photoshop that.
And yeah.
So they got a lot of cred that way as well.
Yeah, when people say they Photoshop something, how many times did they just do it in preview or something like that? But the act of putting something silly on a picture has become Photoshop, like to Google.
Mm-hmm. Jeff, you had a point.
Okay, so where was I? Okay, the whole pricing thing that Adobe has and the upgrade cycle, that's a problem for shareholders, because what Adobe really needs to keep shareholders happy is everyone that uses their products to really be using the master suite and to upgrade that every year, or for a while it was every 18 months on Adobe's standard upgrade cycle. The problem is if you're doing that, depending on which package you're buying, that's between like $400 and $1,200 a year. And at the high end, well, that's a lot of money. And so people would upgrade every other version or every three versions, and shareholders don't like that. So Adobe needed to find a way to make it what they hoped would be more palatable for people to be upgrading on a more regular basis and generate more revenue to make shareholders happier.
Yeah.
And I think that's really what's behind Creative Cloud. And had Adobe presented this to us in a better way and phased it in over a longer period of time, I don't think there'd be as much resistance as there is. Of course, there would always be resistance because there's no way to make everyone happy. But I think they've gone about this in the wrong way and way too fast.
I think there's a fundamental issue with that, though, Jeff, that people don't like the cloud and they don't want the cloud. I don't want to store my documents in the cloud, yet Pages comes back and says, do you want to store this in the cloud? First option. No, I don't. Yeah. I want to store it in my frigging hard drive, and I've got to make three flipping clicks now just to put it on my hard drive. I should be making right. three clicks to put it in the cloud. I don't want to put it in the cloud. You know, that's not my default option, Apple. Bugger off. And
right.
and that is the problem. People don't like the cloud. They don't want it in the mm-hmm. cloud.
Yeah, but the trouble is, Ewan, is that if you're in the Apple world particularly, and I know that it's not just them, I'm not just picking on them, but Apple knows best. They knows what's best for you, and they will tell you. That was the Steve Jobs way of doing it, is it? You know, we know best. We know what's best for you. And we're going to tell you how you're going to operate.
Well, it's clearly not the case with iCloud. It's still utterly horrible.
Well, you know, but they know best. That's where you should store it.
But we all use Gmail, and that's all in the cloud. We all use Google Docs, and they're in the cloud.
Yep. Adobe's other problem with all this is that they called it Creative Cloud. Cloud was the worst, absolute worst word to put in there, because it immediately makes everyone think I'm running web apps or I'm running apps where I have to have a constant internet connection. And neither of those is true. And it makes people think all my documents are stored on the cloud. Okay, no, unless that's where you want to put your documents. But that's not clear from the naming. And so, of course, it's going to turn off all kinds of people. They really should have thought about the product naming before they jumped into the cloud thing. And I think they went with it because it's a buzzword and they thought everyone would love it and it sounds cool. Ooh, cloud. And in reality, we end up with what we have right now, where people are going, I don't want my junk in the clouds. I don't want to run web apps. And then they just stop right there.
Exactly it. Exactly it.
I don't want my junk in the cloud. That's a show title, have I heard?
I think the other thing is to remember that these things do go in cycles. If you take Microsoft out of the equation, because they've got other reasons for being able to cling on to Office being so successful. because of the Windows hooks and stuff like that. You know, like we were talking about Quark earlier on, in a few years' time, probably Adobe will be the ones that are fading away and someone else will be dominating in that area.
I went to, I dropped the kids at school this morning and I dropped Bryony off at her school, and there was a lady that walked through who was, I've never seen before, who was the mother of one of the children. She could have been a Klingon without makeup. Just thought I'd share that.
You Vulcan serious?
I found out, it's taken me 4 years, but I've worked out how to kill the conversation in this show so I can move on to the next topic.
I was going to say, it was good that you were taking in the important points of what I was saying rather than just Klingon.
She's at least a Romulan.
She's a Romulan, that one.
Have you seen the advert with the two versions of Spock for Audi?
Oh, that's an awesome advert.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Excellent. No, okay. I haven't seen that.
That's the end of that one.
Thanks, right. Paul. Okay. Cheers, bye, mate. if you're listening, thanks, Paul. he's never going to come on again. Windows tablet. There's been a whole pile of stories around this. Bill Gates says, and I believe Bill Gates, anything he says, he says that iPad users are frustrated. Windows is the way forwards. And that people are going to be Surface bound before you know it. There's a question that was raised by PC Pro about whether a 7-inch tablet would be the option for Microsoft and whether it would save the Surface, because otherwise it's utterly frigging doomed. And Microsoft has admitted to customers that they probably don't understand RT. And I've got to say, if anyone can explain it to me, I'd be grateful. Thank you very much. Retweet, thank you. I mean, they've sold not many Surfaces in a long space of time.
I always think it's one of those situations where they're just late to the game.
Right.
Because I remember you know, when... Sorry, go on.
All right. Here's where I see the big problem with Bill Gates talking about the Surface. What it tells me is that a company that he doesn't have that much interest in anymore, because he's moved on to his philanthropic stuff. Okay, if Bill is having to start talking openly about how the Surface is better than the iPad, this tells me that something has gone so fundamentally wrong at Microsoft that he's having to step up and start talking as a spokesperson for the company. That's a really bad thing.
I've got a Saturday Night Live sketch in my head of someone playing Balmer going, "Hello, Bill. Yes, it's Steve. I wonder if you'd say something good about the company." "Sure, Bill."
I mean, I don't know where Bill actually said this, but I can imagine it was probably some journalist, probably off the cuff, following him around when he was doing some of his publicity for his various causes that he's working on these days. Just saying, "Hey, Bill, what do you think about the new Windows 8? Isn't it crap?" You know, and I can't imagine it was some formal event where he was at and he was expressing an opinion. As the founder of Microsoft, you'd kind of expect him to say, "Oh, you know, iPads are, you know, they're passing fad, and you know, Windows 8 is the future," and you know, I wouldn't expect anything different.
I mean, this guy has got the bravado of Richard Nixon. I mean, he's saying that iPad and Android users are frustrated by the limitations of their device, despite the fact that the Windows tablet has so far claimed 3.7% market share.
But he started Microsoft. What the hell would you expect him to say?
He's not going to set up the other guys, is he?
It's like asking Steve Jobs what he think, if you could ask him what he thought of the Windows Surface and whether it was going to take over from the iPad. Of course, he would blooming well say no, and the iPad is the future. It's you know, it's where they come from. Why would you expect anything different?
I mean, from what I can tell, the biggest problem for Windows tablets seems to be no one's developing for it. They just don't seem to have the big name laps still.
They're offering free development as well in some situations. They're contacting people who have apps or are currently developing apps on other platforms and offering completely free development. Microsoft will build your app. You just have to give them the design.
Really?
Oh, my goodness. Is that how desperate it's got?
You can't give it away.
Isn't the service quite dear, expensive as well?
It's $899, isn't it? Isn't it?
So that's even dear on the iPad?
Yeah.
See, that's not going to help, is it?
What is it? Why would you buy a more expensive device that doesn't actually do the things that you want on an iPad? I personally don't understand it. And actually, I mean, I held an iPad mini, and I mean, it's beautiful, it's lovely for reading, but actually it's not very good for creating content, and I write a lot on my iPad, and it is no good for, I wouldn't do it on that. So I don't understand this argument about 7-inch tablets either.
Well, you'd use a Bluetooth keyboard for that anyway.
But then the screen's too small.
Nah, you're right, as long as you've got a Bluetooth keyboard.
I think that price was for the Pro version, wasn't it? So that's for full version of Windows 8 on there.
Yeah.
So it's just like a laptop, basically, without a keyboard.
Princess Bagel in the chat room is trying to sell it to us on the basis that she can sync it with her Xbox profile. Sometimes. Okay. Sort of. Therein lies the issue, maybe, perhaps. Jeff, anything to add as a final nail in the coffin of the Windows tablet?
Microsoft really doesn't know how to make tablets. but here's the problem. Microsoft Ballmer. Wants to make one operating Ballmer. Microsoft wants to make one operating system to rule them all. There's no such thing as a one ring operating system. And until Microsoft figures that out, they will have products that are good enough for some things, but really frustrate people a lot for other things. They need to be willing to create more focused operating systems for the various tasks that they want to accomplish or for the various platforms they want to address.
Like home or professional or...
Yeah, or something that's designed strictly for a touch interface on tablets. Ultimate. And the Windows Mobile 8 on phones, I think that's really cool. And I think it's a really innovative design, but it doesn't scale. I don't even think it scales up to the Surface tablet very well. And when you take that whole interface formerly known as Metro up to a desktop, it completely fails, I think.
You're not allowed to say Metro anymore, Jeff.
The OS formerly known as Metro. There you go. It sounds like Prince.
Squiggle, yeah.
Just wondering, has any of us here actually used a Surface? Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
Yes. No, I've played on a Windows 8 laptop.
Which is not the same thing, Charlotte. So, Jeff, go ahead, because you have.
Okay, sitting down with Microsoft engineers, showing me how to use the Surface tablet, and I'm asking them very simple questions, and their answers are, oh, we don't know, and, well, it should work like this. I'm not sure why it isn't. That's how the whole thing went.
Oh, geez.
And
I'd have had a similar experience.
It just really didn't.
Sax says
it's too heavy. It's an awkward size. It doesn't balance well. It's a product that had they taken a core group of engineers and said, run with it and come up with something, because Microsoft has some brilliant engineers. Let them do their thing. Stop the let's build by committee thing and let these guys come up with something really cool and then trust them. And I don't see that happening.
What about second iteration? Do you think it'll get... Now they must have got some feedback by now, obviously. So do you reckon they're going to continue? Well, they have to continue pushing, surely. It's the way...
It doesn't help if the feedback is, it's shite.
Do you know...
No, they can stop. They could stop making it today. And they can say, look, this is just a reference model. We wanted people to see what you can do with it.
Yeah.
And give our partners ideas on how to come up with cool and innovative products, and they could drop it today, and they wouldn't look bad for doing it if they presented it that way.
Do you know, like we were talking about earlier on about Google Glass being a concept device?
Mm-hmm.
I've thought for some time that this is the first step that Microsoft have actually been working on. Windows 8 is not where they're trying to get to. This is just a starting point. I don't think they necessarily understood the difficulties they were going to have establishing it, but I think that it is just literally a starting point to where they want to get to. We're going to be two or three versions of Windows down the line before we actually get to something that is really next generation that's going to make them competitive again.
Well, how long did Google
think that they've left it too late though? Because one of the big things was that they were wanting to put this in enterprise and things like that. And if they brought Surface out like what, year and a half, 2 years ago, just when the iPad was starting to ramp up and people were starting to bring their own devices into enterprise environments, they might have had something. But in 2 years, is it not just going to be a case that everybody's going to be running about with Android and Apple tablets, and Microsoft's just, they're not going to be gone because they've got a lot of other things going on? But I just don't see it.
That's possible, but these things go in cycles, and I think that it could easily be that because of that, like what I was touching on earlier on when we were talking about companies going in cycles, when we were talking about Adobe and in a few years' time that, it'll be somebody else. Microsoft have an exception to that because of the OS stranglehold they have in the market and they have done for the last few years. That does give them some advantages, and they do have that stranglehold in the commercial market. And I think that gives them a chance. Not with this version, but with a version some way down the line to reestablish themselves in that. Otherwise, if they don't get it right, they will lose it.
I'm not so sure, because I think the way bring your own device has gone already, people are so, workplaces are so comfortable now with people having their iPad and so on, that actually I don't see that the Surface is going to suddenly become the enterprise tablet of choice. I mean, I totally accept what you're saying, Sarah, that actually people like Microsoft and so on, and actually it fits in with their work. But I think we're so far beyond that point now that actually I'm not sure Microsoft can ever come back.
I agree with you in the point of what you were saying about with bring your own devices. I don't. Yes, I think they are. They've probably missed, like Paul said, they've kind of missed the boat on that one. But the corporates are still not completely happy with allowing people to use bring your own devices it comes to dealing with sensitive data, storage of that data and stuff. And that is still going to give them still going to give Microsoft that advantage, because all the servers on the back end that companies are running systems on are going to be running Microsoft. And we know that the Windows devices are, you know, whatever form they take in an enterprise, running on whatever devices, Windows is always going to have that advantage. And therefore the corporates are always going to favor a Windows device because it integrates more seamlessly with things like AD and everything like that, especially when you're running something important that's corporately important to a business on a desktop or whatever form it takes.
Well, I think those days are gone though, Sarah, to be fair. I've got a friend who's well up in IBM, and he says he's just this week changed over to his iPhone. He uses his iPhone for work now. The corporate BlackBerry is gone. IBM are quite happy for him to use his own device.
So what do they use to access corporate systems?
They've built their own application that runs on iOS that does all the application access, and it's totally secure.
That Mobile Iron?
I couldn't say any more than I already have.
Okay.
but he's just set up his iPhone to run everything for his corporate email service.
Okay.
Just chuck the battery back. It's done. It's all finished. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2.net. We had an issue this week. We disappeared offline. It went off yesterday morning at 11 a.m. Muggins here filled out a ticket and forgot to click send.
Oops.
I clicked a new ticket this morning and remembered to click send, and sent it off, and an hour later we were back up. We had a server error. If you're going to buy online service and you think you're not going to get errors, then you're inane. You're absolutely stupid. Of course you're going to get errors. But the UK2 service, the backup behind UK2 is superb. Once I raised the critical ticket, that was it. It got escalated to the top of the pile because it was critical, because we'd lost our service. And an hour later, the whole server's rebuilt. Everything's back online and everything's up and running and working. Here we are. We're still back. It's only the idiot human interface that caused the problem.
Mr. Rankin holding his head in shame.
Well, it's okay. I hadn't got to the stage of calling anyone names yet. At least for myself. If you want some great internet service and some fabulous online deals, then go to UK2. Use our website first, BritishTechNetwork.com. Use the click-through. Come back to our tab, and on there you'll see a whole pile of offer codes. You get money off everything that you can have through UK2 through us. Use our offer codes through our website, because if you don't, we don't get the track back, and therefore we don't get the kudos for it. I think you've just gone to a voucher code site. But UK2 are absolutely brilliant. They look after us, and I've just done a voiceover for them for Website Builder. Keep your eyes out. You'll hear my faint Brummy accent on it. Unquote, Batwench, bitch. UK2, superb. She probably heard that. Never mind.
Yeah.
What else have we got to say? We've had a review. It's a fantastic review. It's from Kieran83 in the United States. Thank you, Kieran. He said, about a year ago, I stumbled on the Mac show completely by accident and absolutely love it. Then a couple of weeks ago, I stumbled on the Big Show, which is the Mac show, but without the Mac. No Mr. Will Green, though. But if he tests you, then sometimes don't worry, because he's not on this show. There you go. Thank you, Kieran. Superb review. And you're not in the States, you're in the UK. Very, very welcome. Thank you very much. If you'd like to leave us a review, then please do so, because it makes a huge difference to our ranking in iTunes, and we really, really love them. We'll read all of them out. Anyone that sends a review, you're guaranteed to have it read out on air, so make it funny or else. We're going to do cool things, but before we do cool things, I've got a cool thing to go at the end. But if you remember, the last couple of weeks, we've been ringing a guy called Adam Wisner because I got his phone number through Rando. And every time we've gone through to his answer machine. So we're going to try again. This is the last week. If it doesn't go through this time, then stuff him. He's not coming on. But this is Adam Wisner.
I hope he doesn't miss out on his big break.
Yeah, exactly.
Hello?
Is that Adam?
Hello?
Hello, Adam.
No, it's Alex.
It's Alex. Alex even, not Adam. I got the wrong name. I do apologise. It's Ewan from The Big Show in the UK.
Yeah, it is. How you been?
I'm all right, mate. Listen, now, the other week, I got we joined Rando, and Rando was a pick of the week on the show, and I signed up for it, and I started sending out loads of randos, and lo and behold, that week, I get your phone number, and you've probably had two cryptic messages from me on your answer machine.
Pretty fun.
What? Are you in a bad reception area, mate, because you're cutting out? Hello?
Yeah, it's not too good. You're back here in my dorm. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
All right.
So how come I got how come I got your rando, mate?
My two buddies were drunk one night and decided it'd be pretty funny to send my phone number out.
All my best stories.
So, I've gotten a whole bunch of different responses, but this is by far the coolest one.
Oh, you're the man. So, I mean, what other responses have you had then? They must have sent you out a few times.
The message you sent, or just random other people?
So what were the responses from other people?
A few derogatory things, just some cuss words here and there, but a few people trying to pretend to be...
Excellent.
Young ladies from California.
Way! Well, Prince, we got a lady named Princess Bagel who's Welsh, and she's in the chat room, and she says, "Tell Adam I love him."
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, that's nice.
Like, what kind of radio show is this?
We just get together every week, and there's a group of people here from the UK and the US, and we sit and talk about technology. That's it.
That's pretty cool. I'm stuck in Ohio, so.
Well, you're live on air to several people at the moment, and you'll get processed for about 20,000 people over the weekend.
That's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool, mate. And I've got to say, I saw your little number come up on my rando, and I saw that instantly, as rather than some blokes taking the piss out of you, I saw that as a message in a bottle.
It's kind of a futuristic message in a bottle.
Exactly. I think you should do it some more, mate. See what else you get. And I tell you what, do it some more, and we'll call you back in sort of 4 or 5 weeks' time, and we'll see how much more abuse you've got, eh?
That sounds good.
All right, mate. Thanks for taking the call. See you soon, dude.
Have a good one.
You rock. Bye.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye. Can't hear us.
Good man. He can't hear you guys. I've been passing the messages on. Princess Bagel wants to send her mobile number over to him. Just rando it. So there you go. If you want to get phoned up by some frigging weirdo from who knows where in the world, all you've got to do is sign up to Rando, take a picture of your phone number, and send it out into the world. It's a message in a bottle. I'm telling you. There we go.
And if you definitely want to get a phone call from a weirdo, just send you and your phone number.
Oh, truer than
and
you know.
You'll do the same with that number.
This could be a new feature, says Adam in the chat room. I agree. We'll call someone at random. Well, we'll pick numbers. The chat room can give different numbers. 01... Because it's the States, because we're never going to find any more weirdos anywhere else but America.
We've got one American in the show.
Yeah, he keeps dropping out. So we'll go and we'll ring a random number every week and see who answers. I like that idea.
You'll get Ofcom onto you.
I don't care. Come and have a go if you think you're hard enough. I don't make any money. We get no sponsors. Who the hell's going to sponsor this show? Right, cool things. I expect big things from you, Carl.
What? Before I tell you my big thing, there is an alternative. So if you don't want to spend some money, you can use alternatively Handbrake and Meta X to do pretty much what I'm going to tell you this app can do. And it's in the App Store. It's called iFlix for the Mac, £13.99. And all it is it's a an app that allows you to drag in various video files, formats, and I'm trying to find what they are currently. They are like things like AVIs, FLVs, M4Vs, MKVs, MP4s, and MPEG-4s, yep. And you just drag a video in, and you can decide what you want to what you want the app to break it down to, so you can make it iTunes compatible, universal, iPod, iPhone, Apple TV, iPad, Apple TV 2, or newer Apple TV. And then once you've done that, you drag the file in, and it will find all the artwork. It will fill out all the various directors and starings and all the little fields that you get in, like, the iTunes program, for example. And you have a very nice-looking finished file that you can watch. And if you've got your Apple TV, you can pull it up. You can do the share, the home sharing thing, and up it will appear with all the nice graphics and all the information, and it looks lovely. But I know you don't have to pay. You can do it yourself, but it's a bit laborious.
No, I got to say, the thing that Handbrake was awesome, but when they took away set maximum file size and it would rip the best possible quality could to the maximum file size that you specified, I just kind of like, oh, man, this is so hard.
But, well, this does it all for you. You just literally tell it what's it for. And it will, like, for phones, it will just do standard def, and for like Apple TVs, it will do HD. And it's literally a one-click process. It's so, and it works pretty fast as well at converting it. Obviously, it depends on what processor you've got.
Good, no, excellent. Because how does it deal with Disney DRM?
Well, no, remember you've already got to have the file as one of the formats. It won't rip a DVD.
It won't do a DVD.
To rip the DVD yourself first, and then drag it into this.
Chat room's got a random phone number. I'm going to dial it because I promised I would. Here we go.
Hello. Please state your name after the tone, and Google Voice will try to reach.
Adam Christensen and the Metcalf.
Oh,
it's Ewan Rankin here.
Good old Google Voice, eh?
Being cool screened again.
I am, and he doesn't want to talk to me. You bastard, Christensen.
He's in the chat room.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes. So he had a warning.
Adam, what are the odds that we... hello?
Yes.
What are the odds that you put a random phone number in the chat room and it turns out to be Adam Christensen?
Pretty good, because I put it in there.
How you doing, buddy?
How are you doing?
Yeah, we're excellent. On? We should get you on this show because you've never been on the big show. You get to talk about everything but Apple.
Awesome.
Cool, mate. We'll have you on next week, yeah?
Awesome.
But you're on tomorrow, aren't you, anyway, on the Mac show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can talk about the new Star Trek film if you want.
Oh, let's do that. That'd be cool.
I had a unique opportunity to see it last night.
And?
Awesome.
Right, there we go. See, I've got to say, the new genre of Star Trek is superb. It's broken the odd film duck, hasn't it?
Yes.
Definitely.
Yeah. Oh, and I was just, you know, I was excited for, and I can never say the guy's name right.
J.J. Abraham?
Benedict Cumberbatch?
Cumberbatch.
Cumberbatch.
Dominic Cumberbatch.
There you go.
That's why no one's going to sponsor this show.
He was awesome.
We'll see you tomorrow then, Adam.
Excellent.
Take care, dude. Thanks, man. Bye.
By the way, just in case, phone bill this month. Just in case anyone doesn't know, this is how Ewan books all his guests. He rings up random numbers. So, sure, come on our show.
But what are the odds?
That's why I'm here.
Yeah, can't you tell?
What are the odds? There we go. Princess Bagel wanted us to assure her husband that she's not desperately trying to chat people up while she's drunk, and it's a real live podcast, and that she does interact with the chat room and stonking presenters. Mm-hmm. It's a lie. She's drunk, mate. She'll ring anyone. She'll do anything. I've heard rumours as to what she's professed to be able to do with Jeff. Oh, it's unprincipled. Jeff, what have you got for us? You've got no video from you, dude. Is it that bad?
You have no video for me? Hold on.
You no longer have a goatee.
I reset it.
There
we
go.
Can you see me now?
What happened to the goatee? Because your South Park thing has goatee.
I shaved that off a couple of years ago.
No shit.
And and I made the new South Park Jeff and still haven't bothered to put it online. So I should really get on top of that.
You should. What is your cool thing this week, mate?
Okay. My cool thing this week is a set of Bluetooth headphones that you can use for, well, for whatever. But they're designed for people that are in sports and athletics and stuff. And they're from Blue Jay, and they're called the Blue Bud X. And so here's what they look like.
And it's a hooky thing.
Yeah, so they do the little hooky thing inside your ear, and it's really good stereo, and no latency, and no stuttering, and it's low power Bluetooth, so they last a really long time. I've been testing these for a little while now, and I went, no kidding, a month on a single charge, and that's with wearing them out, running almost every single day for a month.
That's a lot.
I was very impressed with the battery life on these things, and the audio quality is really nice. The trick is, like with any in ear system, you need to have the right tips on them so that they fit tight in your ear. And what, so I experimented, picked out several sizes, and when I found one that worked really well, they fit well. I got really good audio off of them, much better than I would expect off of sport or athletic targeted earbuds. And they're pretty cool. And I believe they're like $160, I think.
Is that, that seems a bit pricey.
Jeff, can I just ask, when you was in an open space, did it lose the signal? Because the last set of Bluetooth headphones I had, every time I was in an open area, it would like cut out and come back and cut out and come back.
No, I have not had any trouble with that at all. The only time I had an issue with losing the signal temporarily was when the battery was getting really low, and it would cut out for like half a second, and then it would be right back.
Okay.
So I've had really good luck with these. This is the first set of Bluetooth earbuds that have performed at a level that makes me happy.
Good. Like that pick. Well done. Sarah, what have you got for a skill?
Mine is something that I've been waiting for a long time. I think somebody actually picked the iPhone version of this, which came out, must have been 6 months at least ago. It's the BBC iPlayer iRadio. It's now called BBC iPlayer Radio instead of BBC Radio Player, which is what it was called before. But it's come out in the last couple of days, and I downloaded it today, and I've been having a play with it and listened to different stations. And the one thing I love about it is the fact that, from what I understand from the blog, is the fact that you can, you can't download it outside the UK. If you actually have it downloaded, you are actually able to use it outside the UK, which for me is a real plus.
Excellent. Oh, we do like iPlayer. It is superb on iOS, but you wouldn't know that.
No comment. But now we've got the radio player, then it obviously can't be too far away.
Superb. Superb. Paul W.
Hello.
What do you have, mate?
I have the ScanSnap document scanner. I can't see if this is in picture or not, but basically the way it is it's quite boring. It is a document scanner, but it's got a little feed in the front. You basically pop the document in, it grabs it, you push scan, and it sucks the document through as if it was a printer, and it just pops it straight into Evernote as a PDF or as an image or whatever you want. I scan everything and then shred it. It's absolutely superb. It does multiple different pages, all one after the other. Full Evernote integration and a number of other document services. I think it's absolutely fantastic. I wouldn't be without it. And one of the best things about this is USB power. A couple of weeks ago, my daughter goes to a drama class for an hour and a half on a Sunday morning. And so I've started taking a big box of old letters and sitting with my MacBook in the front of the car with the scanner sitting on the passenger seat and being able to feed all the documents through and make good use of that hour and a half.
Rather than watch your daughter dance?
No, it's drama. So she's at a class and I'm sitting in the car outside waiting for her to finish the class. And it's like 40-minute drive from where we live, so there's no point in me going home.
If only you had Google Glass and you could take a picture of it.
Exactly. But it's quite pricey. It's £160. But it is superb.
Excellent.
Yeah, I actually have one of those, and they are superb. It's not exactly the same model, but it was a similar one. I actually got it. It was given to me, which was a real bonus, but it was an older one, and they stopped supporting it after Windows XP, so I ended up having to bin it. But they are superb. Right.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point, actually. This is Mac and Windows. So.
Linux?
So just looking on Amazon, the case for it's 50 quid on its own, which is a bit weird, a bit steep, I think.
Yeah, I don't have the case because it folds into quite a neat little unit that could fit in your laptop bag easily. It's I really like it. And I tried a lot of document scanners, and this is the one that does the job. So.
Particularly if you travel a lot, they are very, very useful and you have to scan documents on site or whatever.
Excellent.
Yep.
Jolly good, sir. Fine. 160 quid. We're doing well on the prices on the picks tonight. Good grief.
Mine was usually free.
I keep stuff around $5.
Nothing free, and I'm not going to help it. Sarah's is free. Sarah's is free. Sarah's free. Charlotte, save us. Princess Charlotte, do save us.
I've got something free for you. It's a service called Publicate. You can find it at publicate.it. It's, I know the founders actually. They're based in London. They've actually done a web TV series called Startup Set, Suitcase Startup, because the founder, Chris Bradley, came to London with a suitcase and a dream and founded his startup. And actually the service is brilliant because what it allows you to do is it allows you to compile media from across the web with one button and any type of media. So you can put documents, Twitter, you know, web pages, video, pictures, everything into collections online. And it's a bit like, it's like Storify in principle, but it allows you to compile much more, loads of different types of media. And it's a really simple interface to use. You start using, there's a button called the Publicator button, and you click on that and it compiles the information from the page like Storify. And then you can build these amazing collections of content around topics, or presentations, or events you've been to, or, you know, I did one over the budget. So when the budget was happening in the UK, I collected all the information that was going around the web. So documents, pictures, videos, tweets, I bung the whole thing into this collection, and you can send out the link to it and people can see it and share it. And there's a follow option as well. So it's a bit of a social network feel to it. And it's just a really great site for people who are a bit obsessed with digging out all sorts of media online.
Princess Bagel and Adam in the chat room are saying, good choice.
Oh, good. I'm glad they like it.
There you go.
They have also pointed out that you haven't made your bed.
No, it is made. This is absolutely disgraceful, slur.
I'd sue. It's absolute slander.
It is slander.
Well, it's not. It's liable because they wrote it. Sorry.
Yeah.
My pick is the thing that Carl told me to buy, but he told me to buy the smaller one. And I've got to say, I could have done with the smaller one. It's the PowerGen, and it's not owned by PowerGen, but it's basically a battery from Amazon, PowerGen Mobile Juice Pack. This is the 12,000 milliamp hour pack, which is just incredible. And this is like carrying Sizewell B round in your wallet. It weighs nearly as much as well. You charge it via a micro USB and you get USB outs. And the USB outs are, no, forget milliamps. There's enough to start your frigging car on this. 1 amp and 2 amp, two amp outputs and a single amp output. It's $34.99. It's on Amazon. And oh my God, I went to the beer that we had the other week with Matt and Carl, and I stood in there and I said, I'm about to lose my bloody battery power. I hope I'm going to have enough to dial a taxi when I get home. Carl whips out the small size version, which is about half of that. And it charged my phone in about 20 minutes. It was brilliant. Full charge, no problems. Unplugged it. Thank you very much. And I've got it through for the next day. So I bought the bigger one because I might want to do my iPad as well as. And that's it. Superb. 34 quid, it's unbeatable. And the one you had, Carl, was only 10, wasn't it?
How long does it last, Ewan?
Well, 12,000 milliamp hours. So you'll probably get about 3 full iPad charges out of that one. And I think Carl's did about 3 full iPhone charges.
But one iPad one.
Of those. But, I mean, there's a lot of charge in there, an awful lot of charge in there. And you get like a little visual indicator as well. So you see the lights are on there, look, at the top. And it tells you what the full charge is. And Carl's has got the same four things on, but it goes down the front. And I charged my iPhone, and it had used one light, and that was it. So
that looked very handy.
They are superb. That will go in my rucksack, and I will never be stuck again for an iPhone charger.
Have you got links to that, Ewan?
No, because I was pissed, and Carl found it on Amazon and tweeted me the link, which I bought it off, and then I deleted it.
But it's not just iPhone. It's not just iPhones, Ewan. It's anything you can hook up to a USB. So.
Yeah, yeah. It's or anything that's USB. It does everything. Android,
can
whatever.
I put my BlackBerry on it.
Yep, if you've got a BlackBerry to USB, you know, micro to USB or whatever, then yeah, it'll do it. That one there, the micro USB, is the input charger. These are all the output chargers. And they're all just standard USBs. $34.99, says the chat, the price is the price Saks in the chat room. And it's amazon.co.uk/powergen-pgmpp12000. And that's the thing you're looking for.
Found it.
Yeah. Both Google is strong.
As well. Someone's saying something about Thunderbolt. What's that? Thunderbolt? It says Thunderbolt on it. Thunderbolt. No, Thunderbolt as in HTC Thunderbolt, the phone that HTC apologised for. Did that. Where can we get a hold of you? Oh, no, we're going to do the bash.
Link in the chat room.
Bash is coming up. Yeah, no, the Thunderbolt was HTC. The Bash is coming up. It's the 6th of July. It's going to be here in Birmingham. You need a ticket and you need a place to crash. But there is going to be loads of fun to be had. We'll have loads and loads. But Charlotte's coming. Sarah's not. Carl's already booked. Paul Wheatley's already booked. There's a curry the night before on the 5th, and there's a banner below the one on the homepage that you can book for the curry. The curry is just the price off your meal. It's just a reservation space, effectively. The £20 ticket that you pay for the bash is not a ticket for like an entertainment event. It's basically contributing to the costs of everyone. There's going to be tons of food there. There's going to be loads of beer there, and we're going to have loads and loads of fun. And we'll do a load of podcasts. And Chizzy's coming down to take on the rest of us who know nothing about gaming, to prove that he is a god when it comes to gaming knowledge. He's going to be unbearable after that, isn't he?
As long as it's Far Cry 3 questions, I'll be able to get them.
Okay. Right.
I've heard a rumour that Jeff Gamet might be trying to get over from the United States for the bash. It's just a rumour I've heard.
Is that a rumour?
I have heard that rumour as well.
Okay. Thank you for confirming the rumour of the rumour. if you need to come, then you need to buy a foxtail butt plug to wear. Carl's realised we've got no
That's
sponsors again this
really
week.
Really weird going through customs with that.
No, you put it on afterwards.
Although the TSA guys, they'll probably be like, hey, Jeff.
I thought it was the rabbit hood you had to wear anyway.
I've got to say, Jeff, you'll have more problems bringing that mic in. The trouble I had at Dusseldorf Airport with that mic is unbelievable. Why do you have a dildo that is a microphone? And
so that I can hear what I am doing, yeah.
Yeah. So the British Tech Bash is on Saturday the 6th of July. It's all day. The curry's on the 5th, the night before, starts at 9 p.m. You must buy a ticket. If you don't buy a ticket, there will be no more tickets. At the end of this month, I've got to confirm the venue and pay for it. It's 400 quid just for the venue before I've even bought anything else. So unless there's enough people going to justify the venue, then we'll close ticket sales at the end of May, and that'll be it. There will be no more. And we'll have it at another venue that's smaller and cheaper and freer. If you want to buy a ticket, now is the time. Don't push me on this, because there will be a cutoff, I promise you. Okay? Buy the ticket now, if you want to come. Thank you. 6th July. See you there. Where can we get a hold of you, Carl?
You can hold me on Twitter at Claw0101 or on The Media Show with Russ virtually every week.
You've got a review this week, mate.
Have we?
You've got a review, yes. You've got a review from Batwinch and Ultimate Games as well as.
Oh, I saw Kevin's one, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I did see Kevin.
Must read those out, mate. Must read them out. Next, Jeff, where are you, sir?
Most of the time I'm at MacObserver.com. And then you can also find me on Twitter and app.net. I'm Jay Gamut, both places. And then if you want to find me hanging out at coffee shops, try freshbrewdetails.com because that's where I write about all the ridiculous things that I see when I go to get my chai.
Excellent.
And thanks for having me on yet again.
Oh, mate, you're always welcome. And you're going to do some Mac action tomorrow.
Yep, you totally wrote me in for that too.
Good man. Adam's on as well, so
you're going to have to deal with me and Adam at the same time.
We will have an overload of Yanks.
Oh my God.
That's not going to get us more people on, Sarah, please. Just play along. Go, yay! Sarah, where are you, girl?
I'm at Sarah Jane UK on the Twitters. Best way to get hold of me.
Excellent. And Paul, where are you, mate?
I am Paul Wheatley on Twitter, and you can also find me on the occasional iOS show and the Gamer Show on this network.
Excellent. Web show coming back or hiatus still?
I just don't have the time for it at the moment. No. I would like to, but that may be... I'm not saying no, but it's certainly not anytime soon. I have far too much on at the moment.
The problem with you, mate, is that you try and make the web show too intelligent. You try to be accurate.
I think that's the first time somebody's ever accused me of trying to be too intelligent. No, I'm quite happy with the Gamer and the iOS show just now, but if work slows down, then I may go back to the web show.
Good man. And last but by no means least, Princess Charlotte.
I like this new name. You can find me, Charlotte A. Henry, on the Twitters. I run the blog digitalpolitico.net. And Jeff, maybe letting you write to
macobserver.com. Oh. No, I think it's safe to say it's a little bit more than maybe.
Yeah, I'm going to be contributing some UK stuff for Mac Observer, which is going to be lots of fun. So come over there as well.
Excellent. Excellent. Do it. We'll be back again next week as normal. It'll be Thursday night as planned, and we'll have loads and loads of fun. And the chat room has just put me onto a new website called bedroompleasures.co.uk where I found a dicky bow for my penis. See you next week.